to two guys who like to think they know something about football. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we get up to speed on everything that's happened with the green and gold this offseason, but right now it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got.
Getting a fourth round pick for Rashawn Gary.
We got the bad, we got.
Rashid Walker's 1-year deal messing up that comp pick formula.
We got the ugly, we got.
We still got a month until the draft. Corey Banky, 1 month until the draft. How you doing?
Doing good. A little hot up here on a nice March day in Green Bay. Had a blizzard about a week ago, and now we got some nice 40-degree weather.
I was literally about to say, last time I saw this shot from your window across the street from Lambeau, it was covered in snow.
I mean, snow everywhere. To be fair, there's still snow on the end of Lombardi, and there's still snow in the garden, but it's going away fast. It's going away fast.
Incredible. Yeah, it's supposed to be like 70 here in New York tomorrow. Spring is springing, as it were, and the Green Bay Packers have been somewhat busy. What do you think, Corey? I know you're not living and dying by every move on the internet like a lot of us are throughout the offseason, but what has your sense been as far as, have the Packers been, quote, busy to your mind, or has it just kind of all come and gone and you haven't really paid attention?
I mean, I've been paying attention because it's 365 for me over here, but I think the general consensus is like we've gotten rid of a lot of people and we haven't added the same amount of people.
that has been
like,
a theme.
So you could look at that as like a net negative or subtraction by addition by subtraction.
Yes.
Which is a real thing.
That is a very real thing.
I mean, there's some exciting pickups. I know we're going to talk about them. I'm always optimistic at this time of year. I go back into optimism. I mean, I'm staying in optimism mode until somebody gives me reason to be pessimistic.
Right.
Nobody's really done that.
No, they haven't. Although I will say, towards the end of this season, the way it ended against the Bears in the playoffs, I got to say, that was about as despondent as I've seen you. And it wasn't like you were crazy, but you were more upset about that than I've seen you. And we've seen some heartbreaking Packers losses. That one, it felt like it kind of got to you.
Yeah, I think for everybody, it's like the trend line, right? It's like you're sitting nice, and then you're like, wait, what's happening? And then just kind of, you're like, all right, at some point, we're not. Yeah. It's like the woman eating cereal meme where she's like,
maybe not.
Before it's just so weird because there was a lot of promise,
but that season is done and dusted. It is gone away, and the Packers have started to prepare for the 2026 season. We got a lot to get to, but before we do, we got to give a shout out to our friends over at Nicolet Law. Support for this episode of Packer Transplants Live comes from Nicolet Law, a personal injury law firm serving folks across the Midwest. If you've been injured, you need more than just a quick payout from the insurance company. You need someone who will actually fight for what you deserve so you can focus on healing and moving forward. That's what Nicolet Law does. They help people get the best possible outcome. No upfront fees, no legal jargon, and no big egos. Just local attorneys have your back when it matters most. To learn more, visit NicoletLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLET. All right, Corey Banky, you know what we got to do. Before, there is a long list of news, Packers news, that has happened since the end of the season, which we will get to. But first, you know what time it is. It's been a minute, but it is time for the hotness. The hotness. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this actually was just posted, I believe, in the last day, maybe today, earlier this morning. But Corey, this whole offseason, you know, I went to the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl was there and Micah Parsons was there scooting around on his scooter, as it were, and lots of photos of him doing stuff, workouts with crutches in tow. It's been kind of hopping around this offseason. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, take a look at this picture posted today on Micah's Instagram. There he is with Trevon Diggs. But most importantly, Micah Parsons is just standing there without crutches, Corey. That's the hotness.
That's exciting.
This guy is getting ready to destroy some quarterbacks in 2026. It's hard not to be excited by it, Corey.
I'd be more excited if it was like we knew who our edge rusher was for the first four games of the season. But other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
One interesting thing, speaking of, this isn't in the rundown, but I did want to mention one interesting thing on that tip, as far as we pretty much expect Micah to come back and start on the PUP, right? Meaning he has to miss the first four games. But there is a rule proposal. Well, these rule kind of proposals from teams and the competition committee just went kind of out, you know, as proposals earlier this week. And one of them would actually allow him to start practicing earlier. Because the thing is, when you go on PUP, you're kind of like, you're not allowed to participate in practice while you're on PUP. And then you come back essentially in week five, then you start the ramp up period. There's a new proposal that would allow him to start practicing while he's on PUP.
Interesting.
So essentially you could start ramping him up, then maybe hopefully have him play in week five. So something to look for as this offseason
continues. Like, would that pass for the year, like this year?
It would pass for this season. It would pass for 2026, yeah.
Interesting.
And that is one of the things they'll be talking about next week in the owners' meetings.
You know, one of the proposals that kind of annoys me, speaking of proposals, since you already opened the door to that?
Yeah.
The one that I've seen where it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to have 18 games, and you're going to be allowed to play, but players can only play 17.
In 17 games. Of them? Right. Right.
Okay.
I don't think that's an official proposal yet.
That's some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my whole entire life. I'm just saying that right now. So you're going to have this product, and then you're going to put for one game per season, you're just going to put a subpar product on the field or throughout. It makes no damn sense to me. It just makes no sense. And like, it actually makes the backup quarter, if they do that, it makes backup quarterback way more valuable than it's.
Absolutely. Of course. You got to get through that week. Quarterback. If you're, starter is not allowed to go.
But like, yeah, this ain't 100%. Fantasy football. You can't just pick up. I mean, it's just like, what are we doing?
Well, that is way down the line. That is something that is going to be discussed.
I know, it was a Mike Florio thing, so I should have been like, you know what? That guy's a moron.
It's something that could get discussed during the CBA negotiations, but we're nowhere near that becoming a reality. Like the Micah thing, the change to PUP, that could become a reality in 2026. But the 18 game thing is a ways off yet. Though, with the NFL going the way it is, it'll be here before we know it.
I was about to say, like, the NFL moves faster than, like, anything.
They do, and now that J.C. Treader is your NFLPA executive director, man, I don't feel great about the player's position here. Feels like they're going to get steamrolled. But that's another conversation for another day. Right now, we got a ton of Packers news to get to. And, Corey, I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on each of these kind of nuggets, because again, we haven't talked to you, Corey. We haven't heard from you since all this went down. And starting with, and people, it's so funny. We've come so far now. I think people have somewhat forgotten that this was something we were all tracking and hanging by a thread, trying to find out what was going to happen with Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, and to some extent, Russ Ball, who all signed contract extensions shortly after the season concluded. Hung out for a couple weeks until we got the official word. But yes, they will all be back. They are all back working, doing the thing, Ed Policy, sticking with continuity. Corey, how did you feel about that? Were you surprised? How did you take that?
I mean, I wasn't surprised. That's kind of a no-brainer. I know everyone was waiting with bated breath to wait for Russ Ball's contract extension.
We all were. We really, it was a Russ Ball kind of,
I know.
Russ Ball watch, as it were.
Was there really any other choice? I just don't think there was. I just don't think there was. Twitter would suggest yes, there were.
Twitter doesn't know.
The funny thing about social media is every day that goes by, the less like brain relevant it is. It doesn't mean it's lost, losing its relevance, but its brain GPU goes down every day.
It's not bad.
You know, it's the amount of people. I said this on Packers. I said this on Patreon Happy Hour last night. I have yet to meet in person anyone who disagrees with this move. Well, what did I say?
That you respect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyone. I haven't met anyone where I've talked to them through where they're like, they actually like believe this move was terrible, who I actually respect. So take that for what it is.
I get it. What is interesting is we don't know. There has been no reporting as to how long the extensions are. What are the terms? Like, how many years? I have to suspect it's probably a 4 to 5 year extension for each.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of, you know, rubber has to meet the road after 2 years and we're going to reconvene and keep talking about this kind of thing. Because
I mean, I feel like with
things are all set up for the next 2 years.
I do feel like with pro coach contracts and these kind of things, there's always an out, just like player contracts, right? It's like, as long as you pay the monies, there's an out.
Well, and that's the key. How long is the extension? And if they do want to move on, what are the avenues and the options? Because, yeah, you're right. You do have to pay. There's zero doubt about that. If the Packers were to move on eventually, they would have to pay the remaining years. But that is all in the future. Right now, Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, and company are tasked with getting the Green Bay Packers back to the Super Bowl, winning it, and making Titletown once again. And then, because you know how Brian likes to start off with a bang, the first move he made was re-signing Chris Brooks to a 2-year deal, which I got to admit, I love the fact that they brought back Brooks in the offensive backfield. I think everyone is very aware of how good he is in pass protection. I think he's underrated as a running back in general.
Yeah.
I don't think he's your answer as your second back.
No.
But I do think the world needs ditch diggers too, and he's an awesome ditch digger.
Yeah, I mean, and pass pro. Like, we need pass pro. Like, it's like, I mean, you know, I want to get excited about Micah, and then I'm like, okay, well, tell me about the offensive line, Batman.
We'll get there. Yeah, you're not wrong. And then, I got to admit, this one did surprise me. The trade of Rashawn Gary to Dallas, a player who I think most observers, most fans, most media members, probably lots of people in the NFL assumed was going to get cut. And the Packers ended up getting a 4th-round pick in 2027 for him. I mean, that's pretty decent work from Brian Gutekunst right there.
I mean, there's always – thank God for Jerry Jones. Just want to say that. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for being incompetent, Jerry.
Again.
Appreciate it.
No doubt.
Love it. I just want to know, like, one day will someone – I would love to, like – you know, I don't know, in 10 years when Rashawn's retired and we have him on the pod and we're talking to him. Mm-hmm. I just would love to say, like, you know, what do you think were your top three reasons for your drop off in the 2025 season? From him, right? Not bullshit. Like, if I could just get like a straight, like, what was it, right? Did you have a loss in the family? Was there something, was there some demotivating factor? Like, what was the thing that, because none of it makes sense to me. You look at the tape and it just, nothing makes sense.
It's not Rashawn that you know.
It doesn't
The Rashawn you've
sense,
known
yeah.
for years is not on that tape. I completely agree. I couldn't agree more. And then, you know, we used to call him Trader Ted. Then Trader Brian kept on trading. We have Colby Wooden traded to the Colts for linebacker Zaire Franklin. And that was kind of the first instance where, wait a second, they traded for a guy who's going to be, what, 30 soon? I mean, that was a pretty significant move and one that I got to admit raised my eyebrow a little bit. I like the addition. I think he's a good linebacker. Or he can be a good linebacker. He's coming off a pretty poor season with the Colts. But I understand finding a vet who can take over because you were letting Quay Walker leave.
Yep.
It's an interesting move.
I mean, everything you see from people that I kind of respect on the old socials there, it seems like it's an upgrade even with his down year. Yes,
I tend to agree, especially if he allows over Quay. Yeah, especially if it allows Edrin Cooper to flow and be free and be able to utilize him all over the formation. And I do think it does get him kind of back in the mix with Jonathan Gannon, his old defensive coach there in that Indianapolis, who is now the new defensive coordinator in Green Bay. I'm of the mind that he was miscast in the new defense that the Colts were implementing last season. It doesn't dismiss, like, he's got to be productive. He's got to come, you know, hit the ground running in Green Bay. But I do think he is going to look a bit better in Green Bay than he looked in Indy last season. I don't doubt.
I normally would be like, oh, well, Brian knows something we don't. But, you know, we just paid $15 million for a freaking cornerback to sit on the bench for less than 8 months. So, you know, there you go.
Well, he was hurt. He was hurt for a long time. So, yeah, I don't know.
Talk about free money. Like, it's crazy. You and I had this conversation about this. And, like, I know people have said this. And, look, I've always been the person on this podcast who said the market is the market. The market sets the rate.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the money in the NFL at this point, like even what it was 3 years ago, it's insane. Right. It's insane that Hobbs can just literally do nothing and get $15 or $16 million and literally not even like do anything.
Yep.
But work out. It's incredible. Like I have a small business
and give up a few plays.
Doesn't even do 1/5 of that in revenue. You know what I mean? Like it's insanity. Like you want to talk about, yeah, it's insanity.
Yeah,
and
but
that's
still,
not to say that that's not to say players aren't worth. I'm not talking about worth or value.
No, of course.
I'm just talking about the difference between us peasants and the NFL. That's all I'm talking about.
See, I never draw that kind of line because of the fact that NFL players, in relation to their peers in pro sports, are so still vastly underpaid. You know, when you talk about interest and revenue being driven by their labor comparative to a Major League Baseball player, you know, or an NBA player, they are still wildly underpaid. So that's just me.
Well,
but I understand
player
what you're saying.
More hours in than an, I mean, not hours like time, but like there's more, they're time actually on camera, They're on the court. Same with MLB, right? They're actually have more hours in the game, as it were, right? And I'm not saying that they don't put in the offseason at time. This isn't about that, but it's like actual time on camera. I don't know that it's, I don't know that it's that skewed as you think.
Another interesting conversation for a later date. And then we did, you're talking about additions by subtraction. One of the places where I don't think there was an addition for the Packers, and it was a true subtraction, Malik Willis signing with the Dolphins. Obviously, insanely happy for Malik. What a story. What a kind of arc that he's had since basically being demoted to third string in Tennessee, coming to Green Bay on a, you know, on a song, basically. I mean, a seventh round pick at the last minute of training camp. And he parlays that 2 years later into a starting gig where he's got a really nice contract. So I love it for Malik. Hate it for the Packers because now they are in the market for a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, good on the Packers for having a for actually taking backup quarterback seriously by getting Malik Willis after spending a significant time period not taking that position seriously and getting burned. Right. And then also again getting burned this season and having a third string quarterback that has no business being in the IFL. So good job, Packers. Good job of actually no business being in flag football. By the way, flag football, wow, who would have thought? Those guys are
pretty awesome. They look great, right? That's good
stuff. But yeah, Malik Willis, I kind of feel like he got underpaid. I feel like he could have got more money.
It did feel like he was dead set. Like everybody involved was like, okay, you're coming to Miami. Like John Erik on his way out the door was like, okay, just, you know, get that flight booked because we're going to sign you kind of thing.
Yeah.
But hey, if that's where he wants to be, phenomenal. I'm happy for him. And then another guy who got signed, he waited a little bit longer, but Romeo Doubs signing in New England to a pretty significant deal, pretty damn impressive. And I love the idea of him balling out in the AFC where we don't have to worry about him hurting the Packers too much. Although Packers will play the Patriots this year. Good for Doubs. Happy for him. I think it's, I, again, you used the term earlier, a no-brainer. I thought it was a no-brainer to let him walk given what the Packers have, you know, already put into that position behind him. They're coming up, etc. Happy for Romeo, but it made sense to let him leave. No question.
Yeah. Yeah, where we were, it just didn't really. It's musical chairs, and somebody's got to not have
very
a
much so. Oh, speaking of musical chairs, the position group that you asked about earlier, the much maligned and often scrutinized and probably will continue to be so, offensive line, Sean Ryan, re-signed with the Packers to be their center. I don't think this precludes or excludes the possibility of a draft addition at the position, maybe not to come in and compete, so to speak, but to lie in wait, as it were. But Sean Ryan's most likely going to be your starting center in 2026. And I will say, I understand it intellectually. I am not a monster fan of it, like, emotionally, if that makes sense.
I mean, here's my emotional roller coaster on Sean Ryan. Last year, who is Sean Ryan? Oh, my God, we have to have Sean Ryan as our center. Oh, Sean Ryan. All right. Not too bad. Sean Ryan, I hate you. So there it is. That's that is where I and you know, I think what poisoned me on Sean Ryan was actually TJ Lang.
Oh, why is that? Because of the playoff game?
Because of the playoff game, and just like it just made me feel like it's not normal what he did, and the fact that he has no game awareness in a playoff game does not make me feel good.
Yeah, I feel you. And for those of you who don't know and aren't chronically online, like some of us, TJ Lang, during the game, I believe it was, like, when it happened. He didn't.
I think it was afterwards. Immediately after, yeah.
It was,
yeah,
like, yeah. Pretty in the after the fact that Sean Ryan got hurt towards the end of that game. You guys remember Lasidia Smith having to come in, I believe, their fourth string center. But the Packers had to blow a timeout because Sean Ryan didn't have the wherewithal to at least hop off the field and not have to burn a timeout.
Yeah, and it wasn't about timeout. Him getting injured, by the way. It was just game awareness, right? Game like, awareness. You get injured, you got to do what you got to do. It's not about
TJ pointed that out, and it was a bad look, no doubt. No question.
Now,
now
the thing is, like, Sean Ryan got better as the season went on for the most part. I think we can all agree.
This is true.
And so nothing precludes, like, he should be better. And look, like, to be honest, the Packers have been playing with fire at that position for, like, too long.
Yes.
And
since they let Corey Lee. No doubt.
Like, but also forcing a player that's not a center to be a center when that doesn't really help him and it doesn't really make him a better player or help his salary, which I know people are like, well, he should do what's best for the team. But like, dude, it's a freaking business and you're going to make somebody who is really good at a position that gets paid now do a position that doesn't get paid. That's de-incentivizing, which is not really what you want on your team. So I just feel like, you know, the fuck around and find out. The Packers have been fucking around and finding out at center for too long.
You are, and of course, talking about Elgton Jenkins being kind of made to play center. We all saw the drama play out last offseason where, you know, he skipped everything except the mandatory minicamp. And then he came in and had a pretty, I guess, bad, I don't know, I would say pedestrian, but, you know, it was a pretty bad year. At center,
but again,
before
what did you expect from him on the de-incentivization, right? It's like, what did you expect from the player? You think somebody's just going to be and also, like, he's not just thinking that you can do anything there, I just think is a lot of hubris. So whoever had that hubris, hopefully, and I don't know if it was Brian, I don't know who it was on the offensive side, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they didn't want to overpay, quote unquote, because there were a lot of centers, but center upped in value this year. So, you know, maybe they didn't want to overpay. They clearly have the cap space. So I don't understand what it is. Somebody is not seeing the value at that position, and it is hurting our team significantly.
Tend to agree. Very much tend to agree. And I do think, like I said, there's a very good possibility that even with this Ryan extension, that they look to the draft. And I asked Brian about that at the combine. You know, I asked point blank, are there guys in this class that you think could come in and start week one? You know, which is what Corey and Josh Myers both did. And he said, yeah, you know, I think there certainly are a handful of guys in this draft. And I do think even with the Ryan extension, I got to believe there's still a chance that they take somebody who they see as a potential long-term answer at center. even with the contract they just handed out. I think it's
One of those guys going to be available at 52? Like, they're not going to take a center at 52.
No, but I mean, hell, they found Corey Linsley day three, you know? Yeah. Like, I think they've shown, for all the stuff they've gotten wrong over the years, I think they've shown they're pretty strong when it comes to finding guys later in the draft. Now, it's not an automatic thing, you know? It doesn't just happen because you want it to happen, but I think they've got a good chance of finding somebody in this draft if, you know, the board falls right, et cetera, that stuff. And then, as we mentioned earlier, Quay Walker out the door, signing with the Raiders and taking a bit of a shot at the Packers in his introductory press conference, where he talks about not being used correctly. Or I don't think he said that. I think it's going to be nice to be used correctly.
Yeah,
it feels like every time a dude leaves and has this kind of chip on his shoulder, so to speak, or makes anything like that public, it tends to backfire. It tends to, okay, he continues to play poorly. However, there are certainly cases where it has been borne out, but it feels like every time a guy goes someplace else and flourishes after he's not done well in Green Bay, it's usually when they don't say anything about it. They just go and do their job and do it at a high level. So,
I feel like a lot of people have been saying this for like 2 years that he's not played in the right spot.
Tazeem and I did a whole podcast about it 2 summers ago when Halfley was hired. We were like, well, obviously now Quay is going to be the Will, but then they drafted Cooper and they kept Quay inside. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's got a case, but, you know, there's no need to air that out, at least in my mind. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with him there with the Raiders. And then the Packers did add at corner in free agency, by the way, early in the morning. Brian is one of those guys who gets up early, you know, and it was so funny is like, I set my alarm for like 8 a.m. knowing on day two of free agency, day two of the legal tampering period, because I was like, you know, anything could break at any minute. And I got up and the news, it's 8 a.m. on the East Coast and the news has already happened. I'm like, man, when are we going to get the party GM? Like, you know, I want the GM who's out late at night making deals at the bar.
I like that because he's actually an hour. You know what I like about that? One, it drives the conversation towards Central Time should be the main time for America. Mm-hmm. Like, without the Midwest, there are no consumers. Let's be real.
Oh, here we go. Okay. All right.
So Central Time, okay, in and of its own, just the word Central Time.
Yes.
Right?
Or Lambeau Time, as it were.
Or Lambeau Time. I'll take either. But it's Central Time. Like, literally, the word central is doing a lot there. And so the fact, I love it. Central Time is the best time. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Corey, I really need to pull some old transplants clips where when you lived in New York, all you talked about was how New York was the center of the universe and everyone needed to genuflect to New York. And now you've gotten older. You're in Green Bay, and everything needs to be focused around.
Also,
the
look behind me. What do you think is? What is a better
anchor?
I
understand.
The Statue of Liberty or Lambeau Field? What is a better anchor for America?
Oh man, that's a bold take there, Bakey.
I'm about it. I'm about this life.
Yeah, I feel you. Very clearly. Obviously. But that news that I was talking about was the signing of Benjamin St. Juice, the cornerback from
the
Chargers.
That's like the best free agent we've picked up so far, pretty much.
I think the next one is probably my favorite.
Oh, really?
Now, you talk about best or
no, I hear
favorite,
about it's your favorite, but I feel like, player position. Because like Zaire Franklin, like you said, he had a down year. And Javon Hargrave, everyone on the Bears was like, oh, he sucked last year. And I feel like,
even though he put Caleb Williams on his ass, but sure, Bears fans, whatever you're talking about, whatever you want to say, that's what they're going to say, right?
Yeah, it just,
But St. Juice is coming. You are correct in the sense that he is coming off a really strong year, right? Now, the kind of negative or cynical version is, well, he was a backup, right? He wasn't a starter. He didn't play a ton. But when he did play, he played well. He played at a high level. And probably more importantly for this fucking team, He played a boatload of special teams and played special teams well. We could always use some of that in Green Bay. So I love this addition, and he's a big dude. He is a big mother outside, like a guy who's going to be able to kind of go up against some of these monster wide receivers on the perimeter. I like this addition a lot, and I am fascinated to see if he gets an actual opportunity to, like, you know, beat out Carrington Valentine on the outside. Like, I do think that opportunity exists. So I love this addition. But, yeah, the next one, when they signed Javon Hargrave, that, to me, that's my favorite addition of the offseason, because I do think I understand the critics and or opposing fans who point to a down year in pressures and what he was able to do numbers-wise with the Vikings.
Yeah,
but I would only say, like, and I said this on Daily, in Minnesota, the scheme is the star. And he is asked to do way different things in Minnesota than he is going to be asked to do in Green Bay under Jonathan Gannon. I'm not saying he's going to find the fountain of youth and suddenly become the, you know, Hall of Fame game wrecker or something like that. But I do think he gives them a hell of a lot more juice when it comes to the pass rush than we've seen from the interior in Green Bay in quite some time. Now, you throw in the fact that he's going to be working alongside Devontae Wyatt and Micah Parsons. Hot damn. I love this addition. I think he really help.
Well, and I think the nice part about it is we will see an immediate impact, because we'll be able to see him pre-Micah for four games.
Without Micah, so, how much is he able to do?
To me, that's what really matters.
To your point, how much is he asked to just get upfield and get after the quarterback on obvious passing situations, right? I think one of his, and, you know, he'll have to speak to it, but he retweeted somebody who essentially said, like, he's not allowed to get upfield. He's being asked to, like, absorb bodies and do all this
stuff.
Yeah, take two bodies.
Yeah.
So that, you know, safety blitzes and linebacker blitzes can get home. And, you know, which is fine. I mean, look, Flores runs a great defense in Minnesota, no question about it. But then when you hold the player accountable for a lack of pressures or a downtick in pressures, well, I'm not being asked to get upfield and get after the quarterback. So I think that is going to occur in Green Bay, and I'm excited for it. Very, very excited. Speaking of excited, I know you are thrilled that Aaron Mosby has been re-signed. That literally just happened the other day.
I missed
Corey,
that.
Be honest. Do you remember who he is?
I know he's on special teams.
He is a great special teamer, yes. And he plays along the edge, and got to think he'll be in the mix, so to speak, there at training camp. Probably.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Yeah, he's one of those. He's one of those, like, four players that's like he's on the 53 because of how good he is on special teams. I knew that.
That
much.
Is 1,000,000,000% correct.
I couldn't tell you what position he played. And of all the signings on this list, he's the only one I didn't know.
Well, there you go. I'm impressed, Corey.
I follow Cheesehead TV on impressive. Twitter, so, you know.
As you should.
That's how you know how everything happens, by the way.
Absolutely.
If you want to know every signing and you want to get into it, all you need to do is follow us on social, and you will know everything you need to know about the Green Bay Packers.
Happen. It most certainly will. The other thing you want to know about is the coaching staff changes, which were actually announced prior to April. I think that's the first time in years.
And there were a lot. There's a lot, dude.
A whole lot.
It's crazy how much. It's not just Rich retiring, but, like, it is crazy the amount of turnover that the coaching staff had this year.
Well, you know, you lose a coordinator. Some of that is expected, right?
Totally.
That, you know, especially since he took some guys with him. You know, yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to go guy by guy, but I did think it was interesting that Getsy was made assistant head coach offense and Covington was made assistant head coach defense. So they've taken the assistant head coach title that Rich Bisaccia held and kind of split it in two. And then, of course, there was a lot of talk about, Covington's listed as an outside linebackers coach. Oh, they might be running 3-4. Ryan literally said at the combine, yeah, we're going to be running 3-4 principles that Gannon has used and we haven't used in Green Bay in a while. So I do. It's funny to me, Corey, because I know you remember when Fan Fest happened back in the day, and we have that recording, which is still on the YouTube channel here, of Dom Capers explaining the 3-4 defense. Remember that? Remember how alien and different the 3-4 was? And, like, oh my gosh, it's so different. But now it's like the league is so sub-driven. Everything is a sub-package. Everything is a matchup-driven. It's like, the 3-4-4-3, yes, it matters to the guys on the field, 1,000,000,000%, what they're being asked to do and how they get taught and what they're tasked with, etc. But from a fan standpoint and watching the game of football, man, it, like, yes, there are intricacies that I'm sure we'll talk about all year long, but it is nowhere near as a kind of seismic shift as it was in the day when they had run a 4-3 forever and now, well, once, 3-4.
Well, like, once you realize, I mean, I guess somebody told me this probably on this show. It's like, what is it, 80% of base defense is nickel?
75 to 80 is nickel. Yeah.
Like, you once know? You realize that, it's like, oh, I guess it doesn't matter. Also,
if guys got hand in the ground on the outside or if they're standing up, that's the biggest difference. Like, legit. So,
yeah.
Not a monster change, but it will be interesting to see how much they drop some of their, you know, outside backers into coverage and things like that. Everyone remembers having so much fun with Preston Smith in coverage. God knows I don't want to see.
I mean, everybody's like complaining
Micah Parsons
about
dropping too much.
I mean, everybody's complaining about Micah Parsons dropping coverage. Does everybody remember the freaking Bears NFC Championship game? The one of the greatest players that's ever played for the Packers and
BJ
Raji off the face of the earth. Without him dropping back in coverage, he don't have no interception, people. No,
and a touchdown,
six.
And a victory, and a Super Bowl pass.
So,
I love it. I love
you
it.
Know, I don't know why people are so against it. Also, the other thing I wanted to say about that, what's surprising to me is, you know, the fact that personnel grouping, it is about personnel, right? What blows my mind is why don't more offenses run tempo more often? Because you're automatically going to get a mismatch if you just run tempo.
Well, you're dictating, right? Yes.
Yeah, you're always going to
subbing. Yeah.
I don't understand why that doesn't happen more. It really is kind of weird. Somebody's done
Maybe
the math.
Maybe Matt LaFleur
on, like,
get into it a little bit more.
I doubt.
I like it.
Don't.
I know they love their substitutions on offense. They
That's
love
what I mean. I think
personnel.
It's almost like instead of self-scouting or being like, hey, and we're going to take advantage, it's like, well, the advantage that we see is not as good as the advantage that we have that we see if we switch.
Yep.
But it doesn't really make sense because, like, if you think about it, like, you're always going to get a mismatch, and you can dictate the mismatch.
Well, especially if you know, because if you sub, right, and bring in, say, you go from three wide receivers to a heavy set with extra tight ends, whatever, you're dictating in the sense of, like, okay, I've got a different kind of group on the field that I can do anything with, but the defense sees it. And they know, and they counter
no,
with whatever
I understand,
they want.
But like,
no,
you can play
point,
chess,
though,
not checkers. You can
yeah,
say,
if
hey,
you go
on
and hurry
first
up
down,
from the
I'm going to run this. Yeah, right. And then second down, they're going to be in this personnel.
Get back to the line. You know
it.
What personnel they're going to be in. They don't have a chance to counter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're really, I mean, now granted, you're wasting it down, right? Because you're playing to their personnel strength on the first down. But
Possibly.
Second, third, and fourth, and it, like, you're basically playing to your own strengths after that. Kind of weird.
That would be the hope. That would be the hope. And maybe, just maybe, Jordan Love's allowed to do a little bit more of that. Get up to the line, call a play, get going, try and take advantage in that regard. I love this idea. And finally, the last bit of news we did want to mention, because we would be remiss without mentioning that Bob Harlan obviously passed away a few weeks ago. The Packers just held their public service for him, essentially, the other night at Lambeau Field. Absolutely a legend. They will be adding his name to the Lambeau Field facade on the northeast side there. I did a whole video about this a few years ago in regards to Packers fans owing this man literally everything they know or love about the Green Bay Packers. The fact that they exist in the form that they do, the fact that they're playing in Lambeau Field still to this day, it is all down to Bob Harlan. Like, everything that has transpired since he became the CEO and president and the decades of success, none of it occurs without Bob. So my biggest regret is that I couldn't get back to Wisconsin for the event. I know the snowstorm really played havoc with the date and the timing, but it was great to see Mike McCarthy come back, Ron Wolf come back. I know there were a lot of former Packers staff on hand. I know his family was there. Just an absolute, you talk about, you know, I joke a lot about Packers legends. He is the definition of a true Packers legend. And very sad to see him go. Very happy that he will be honored the way the Packers are going to do it, because if anyone deserves it, it's Bob Harlan.
Definitely. Definitely. To be fair, Mike McCarthy lives here, but other than that, yeah. He hasn't moved to Pittsburgh yet.
You just couldn't let him like have a little shine, could you? Couldn't you just like hey, I'll come over. Hey,
yeah, I'd let him have a shine.
Nice words about Bob. Say some nice words about Bob. It'll be okay. Yeah. Well, what time are you guys going to start? You're going to start at 6 o'clock? Okay, I'll be there. You couldn't just let him have a little shine. Just had to twist the knife a little bit. I get it. I see.
I see what's up. I just can't wait until Mike McCarthy calls a play and then Aaron Rodgers tells him, no, Mike, I'm not going to do that play. And then they have like an argument and one of them quits.
I'm going to be
It's going to be great.
You really think Aaron Rodgers is going to go play for Mike McCarthy? You really think that's going to happen?
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. He's going to play and then like 2 weeks later he's going to quit. He's going to remember what he hated about it.
Everything's good. All those memories are going to get unlocked.
He's going to, yeah, it's going to just be, oh, yeah, that's right.
This is why I left. That's why I got him fired.
This is why I, yeah.
All right, quick, let's talk about the offense, shall we? Corey Behnke, as we do every Packer transplants, we got to talk about the offense. And we all know this entire season, everything about trying to go win a championship, trying to be better in certain situations. Certainly, they were still a top 10 offense last year, but problems in short yardage, problems in the red zone, problems on offense in general, most of it can be a lack of a running game. Almost all of it can be traced back to their struggles up front. That's it. Can the offensive line rebound? And we're talking about those coaching changes, lack thereof were any changes on the offensive side with Adam Stenovich remaining as your offensive coordinator and Luke Butkus remaining as your offensive line coach, which I know this has been a hot topic at points in this offseason when people have talked about needing to fire these guys, etc. You know, I understand continuity and I understand sticking with them because there is evidence of high level offensive line play under both of these guys. But holy cow, last year was an abomination. That's about as bad as I've seen the Packers offensive line be in quite some time. I'm talking 10 years plus. And to me, Corey, I don't know, like you may have a differing thought, but to me, it all comes down to can they fix it? Can they get this offensive line to play at a much higher level? And I get injuries happen, guys are in and out of the lineup, all of that stuff, but that happens in every NFL city every year.
Yeah.
And that is part of the gig. They have got to be better up front next year. Got to.
I just don't think they take it very seriously. I really don't. It doesn't feel that way. It just feels like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like, you know, and you can say, well, they paid Aaron Banks a lot of money to be a road grader. And then, you know,
he didn't road grade.
Piss that money away because he's not a road grader. So you could have expectations about people, but it goes back to like having the wrong expectations about people playing the wrong positions. And there's a lot of that, right? Like how long, you know, the Jordan Morgan thing, right? Like
So bad at guard.
Yeah. And so it's like, well, why not just let him be the backup left tackle? Why can't, you know, that's right. Where he's going to play eventually.
Why do
right?
you have to force him onto the field? I'm glad you brought that up because I was talking about this with somebody the other day and I'm like, they were like, why did he play his rookie year at guard? You know, prior to getting hurt, we had that shoulder issue. And I was like, because they wanted to get him on the field. And someone said, why? I was like, I don't know. Like, why are you forcing him out there at a position you don't expect him to play at long term? Always felt
so. I mean, that why are you doing that? Why? So that's what I mean about taking it seriously. I'm not saying that they don't take it seriously, but it just doesn't feel that way because if your goal is to solidify your line, having everybody play every position doesn't feel like the way to do it.
Well, and to that point, Corey, that was one of the wildest things regarding the offensive line as the season went along. Last summer, Anthony Belton gets selected in the second round of the draft, right? And now they've got him playing tackle exclusively all summer long. Like, he didn't run at guard at all. But everybody kept asking. I remember Spoon must have asked like 3 times while I was there for training camp, and I'm only there for 2 weeks. He may have asked more times after I left. But, like, are you going to run him at guard? He looks a big guy. Like, he looks like a natural guard. Are you going to run him at guard? No. He's concentrating on tackle. And then halfway through the year when they move Sean Ryan, they have him at guard. And I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure he ran at practice, you know, but like that ain't training camp. That ain't getting any kind of real hitting going on. And then he was their starting right guard for the second half of the season. A kid who didn't play any guard during his introduction to the NFL. So it's weird to me because I understand they've had success at times and throughout their tenures since Matt's been in town with some of this stuff, right? I remember kind of not freaking out, but kind of we were very kind of questioning the idea of, oh, we're going to rotate at tackle and guard. You remember when John Runyon Jr. and Sean Ryan, literally in game, one guy gets a series, the next guy gets a series. It was always very odd, but they made it work. And it was pretty successful as far as the output, right? But last year just felt like, to your use your word earlier, it felt like hubris. How much they just, everybody's going to play everywhere, and it's all going to suck.
Well, I think it goes to, why do you think that one talented guy like Elgton Jenkins, or it's like play, it's like, you know, what do you say? Joe's not pros, or what do you
X's
say?
X's and O's. It's Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's.
Jimmy's
and O's.
And Joe's.
Think Jimmy's.
One guy can do that, but that doesn't mean everybody can do that.
Everybody like, can do it, right?
One guy can be your Swiss Army knife because he is that good at things, right? And also, it goes back exactly what you said to the whole center situation. It's like, why would you make a guy who's not that be that? And it goes against everything he needs to do for his career and his own business. You know what I mean?
It is wild. The Elgton thing is wild. It is wild because, like, yeah, he played center in college. He hasn't been in college in, like, at that point, like, in what, 7-8 years? You know, and I just, yeah, that, again, hubris is the perfect word. I think,
well, it's also like kind of just because you're in charge. I think a lot of people, when they think, oh, I have a boss, and like everybody blames the boss. And then it's like, just because you're the leader doesn't mean that you get to tell people what they should do or what's best for them. So
best for them,
yeah,
certainly,
you can ask someone to do something, but you got to game it out to be like, is this in this person's best interest or something that they want to do?
It's funny you say that because I also wonder if they kind of got high on their own supply when they saw how good you just mentioned, like, not everyone can do this, like, but they got two guys who could in Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom, right? Two guys who have played up and down the line and played pretty high level at every position they've been placed at.
But that's not normal.
Not everyone can do that. That's not normal. Exactly. So did they maybe feel like, oh, we're kind of feeling ourselves like, hey, we can put guys anywhere and get a good kind of result? Like, no, those are two very special players. It's why they've both been paid very well over their careers. But yeah, no, not everybody can do that. Jordan Morgan certainly isn't capable. Like, he's been downright bad at guard in the NFL. He's looked serviceable and could potentially be good at tackle, but holy cow, he has been bad at guard through 2 years. So yeah,
well,
Corey,
I agree
with you there.
I also have this big problem. I think unless you're like covering the team, you don't realize how little practice these guys get once the season starts.
Right. Yes.
And like, I think the flip side is, you know, we look at Micah, right? And like, it's crazy. I remember when we got him and you're watching the tape of Micah, and it's just incredible how one little move of your elbow is the difference to like getting to a guy in like less than half a second. And then if you game that out on the flip side, the reverse of that is, you know, I was listening to, the former Minnesota quarterback, and he was talking to John Gruden, and he was talking about whether you should start on your left foot or your right foot. And you think about like left tackle and right guard and left guard and center, all of those guys start on a different foot depending on what the thing is. So just starting on a different foot for the position, and think about the headspace you have to be in. And you can say, oh, well, that's so easy. No, it's not easy, because the difference in a split second of a hair of a second is the difference of somebody getting sacked or not.
Yep.
or a pressure happening or not.
Yes.
So why would we, that's what I mean about us taking it seriously. Why would we think that a guy who, like you said, it's like, oh, he never practiced a guard the entire training camp when that's the time you can get it into your body and do the stuff. Why would we think the guy can just do that in 2 days? Why would you want to do that to a person? I understand having to do that because you have no other options.
Right. Yeah, like in the middle of a game where things are falling apart and you got to get through it. Right.
Hey, that Sean Ryan just went out. We got to put the fourth string center.
We got to do something.
Choice. Yeah.
That happens.
But why would that be your game plan? That's what I don't understand about the offensive line.
I'm with you. So 1,000,000,000% O-line. That's what it's all about. We'll see how much improvement there is. And I am hopeful that Matt gets asked about retaining Stenovich to an extent, but certainly the Butkus decision is going to be one that I think he'll be asked about next week. Also, it's Jordan Love's time, Corey. It is time. Like, I know people can argue till the cows come home about how good he is. Is he this? Is he that? All I know is he's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. It is time to hand him the reins, so to speak. Which is what I asked him about at the Super Bowl. And I thought, note his pause here after he asked me to clarify the question. Just note his pause as he gathers his thoughts to answer this question. Let's take a look.
Do you want more ownership of the offense next year?
More ownership of the offense? I feel like I have a pretty good grasp of the offense and what we do. I definitely have a lot of say in what we do, and I think me and Matt are on the same page with what we're trying to get done. I think it's something that we'll keep building and growing upon and finding what we do good and just keep trying to grow in that area. But I feel very comfortable with what we do as an offense, and I think we have a great system.
Jordan. Okay, Corey, this is my interpretation of his pause, and I would like to get your either agreement and or rebuttal. When I ask him and he says, more ownership of the offense, and then he pauses, right, and he just kind of looks down, kind of a wry smile. That's the moment where he was gonna, or he could have, been off the cuff, maybe been a little bit more revealing, but he smiles because he knows, all right, I get what you're saying. But there's no way I'm giving you some real quote here at the Super Bowl at this Toyota promo thing that I'm doing. And then he gives still a good quote.
Yep.
But I don't doubt for a minute, Corey, that yes, he would like a little more ownership of the offense.
Yeah, I it was pretty clear. I feel like that I want more ownership without saying it. He's one of a generation that is like no other, and they have a media superpower. So you're never I don't want to say never, but I just don't. The guy is freaking cool as a cucumber. I mean, I've never seen anybody like, he's inhuman the way that he is so calm and collected. I think it's an incredible testament to his innate ability and talent.
I couldn't agree more. But can we throw a little bit more on first down? That's all I That's it. That's all I want. Because it was so funny. Earlier this offseason, someone put together a hyper cut of the opening touchdown drive for the Packers against the Lions in Lambeau, right? And, it's all these great Jordan Love throws, but somebody instantly pointed out, it's like, you notice how it's like 3rd and 9 on every one of these?
Yeah.
It's like, Matt, come on, Matt. Come on, Matt.
I kind of want both. Like, for me, I just feel like, I feel like quarterbacks are overrated in the sense of when you allow I think it's about timing, and I do think it matters, right? Because there's so many times we saw this with Aaron Rodgers where we're trying to do something,
right?
And instead of doing the thing, we're allowing the defense to bait us into a man look or a zone look. So now the quarterback thinks he's smarter than everybody, but actually they're baiting you into that look, right? There's some times where it's like, I just want us to run our offense, and I don't like, I always want to take advantage of an audible, but the problem is when you take too much advantage of the quarterback running the offense, the quarterback is ghosted by what he's saying. And this happens with the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So I almost want hey, this drive is you and this drive is me. you know, and like
I feel
I
feel that.
I think there's some of that where it's like.
I think the funny part of the discussion is like I'm, you know, mostly slash somewhat joking about can we just throw it on first down? Although Bill Walsh did say easiest down to throw the football on, best down to throw the football on. But it's not so much like I don't think Jordan Love needs to throw the ball 45, 50 times a game. Right. Which is, I know, especially some of the younger kids out there, like they're always jonesing for that. Like, I don't know if it's a Madden thing or what, but like the way Matt operates the offense helps Jordan. Like one of the reasons Jordan's analytics, any kind of metric you want to look at, one of the reasons they are as good as they are is because of the way the offense is structured and the way Jordan is able to take advantage of stuff because of what they run, right? Zero doubt about it, Matt is instrumental in Jordan's continued improvement and or kind of a, like ability to become better and better each year. And I do think he'll take another step this year.
Yeah.
But give the kid just a touch more opportunity. It doesn't have to be dramatic, just a touch more opportunity. I went back and watched that Minnesota game, man, where they're running into a wall all game long, or the Philadelphia game, where it looked like they didn't even know the forward pass had been invented. Like, I understand that's those two really good defenses, and you got to make sure you don't turn the ball over, all this stuff. You got injuries at wide receiver. You got injuries up front. I understand all that. But Jordan is now good enough that he can – maybe not mask that stuff, but he can paper over it because he's that fucking good. That's where I'm at. It's like, it's time. It is time. And I don't think, again, I don't need him throwing it 40 times a game, but just let the kid play a little bit, just a little bit.
Well, and I mean, I wish that the part he let him play more at is game planning, the short and intermediate game, which is just not in Matt's wheelhouse. So.
Yeah, it really doesn't feel like it exists in Green
Bay. Like if you're gonna let him throw, in my opinion, it's like to your point, like you don't need him to throw 40 times, but it's like, okay, like let's throw on first
paper
down.
Paper cut teams to death. Exactly.
Yeah, let's do what Dallas did against us. Like I don't understand. Like some of the most successful teams against us have a short and intermediate game. And if you look at the playoffs, the ability to at least transition to a short intermediate passing game in certain quarters is extremely helpful against a defense. And then once they counter it, you go back to inside zone and you go back to your, you know, your bread and butter and
pushing the ball down the field.
Because to your point, like, you know, if you look at the stats for the Packers, the consistency and the discipline on the offense is what propelled us through most of the season. So you don't want to get away from that in any way, shape, or form. Even as mind-numbing or numbing as it is to us watching, it's really important for, you know, how we play our game. And it and it showed, you know, it did. Until Denver got the interception, the season was ours for the taking.
1,000,000,000%. They were 9-3 coming off that win against the Bears. Even if they don't win the Denver game, if they don't have all the injuries that they had in that game, I mean, people forget Zach Tom didn't play another game along with Micah Parsons after that Denver game.
Those are your two best. If we can come out of that, if we don't intercept the ball right there, and that's like, and we win that game, the whole season changes. It really does.
Yeah, but even after that. Romeo Doubs just falls on that onside kick. They're hosting a playoff game the following week. Like, that's all that needs to happen. But I don't want to
Romeo
Robs. Again.
We called him Romeo Robs on the graphic, so that was kind of appropriate.
Sweet. That's dope. And then finally, you know, I'm talking about LaFleur and all that stuff, but and there are frustrations there. But man, one place, and I don't think LaFleur got enough love for this in season. He got back to being aggressive on fourth down in a big way, in a good way, and especially in the second half of the season. This needs to continue. Yes, Matt, LaFleur, keep going for it. Like, in the second half of this, he was like at like almost like 70% a clip. And I'm telling you, and we all saw how it played out against the Lions. That was the big one, the headline. Everyone remembers that game. But like, just in general, he was making really aggressive decisions on fourth down in a very complimentary and positive way. That needs to be the mindset. It's the modern NFL.
I mean, there's an argument for if he was more aggressive on third down, he wouldn't have to be so aggressive on fourth down.
Well, if they were just better on third and short, but the funny part is they were one of, if not the best team on third down in general all season long.
Which is crazy. Really good. Didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like it.
No, it did. But
I kind of feel like he played aggressive against people who played aggressive against him.
And yes, because we played Ben Johnson last summer in training camp, you know, 1,000,000,000%. Like, yeah. Yes, no doubt. He's like, well, some of it is, you know, dependent on the opponent and how we feel they're going to play the game. No. You play the game, buddy. You are top dog. You're the king. Like, you go get it. Like, stop worrying about the other team so much. Like, it's like the end of first halves when they get in. Matt's not alone in this. This is a very league-wide thing, but it's like, oh, we got to milk every second of the clock because we're not going to let them get another possession.
I mean, I'm for that life.
Because we can't stop somebody.
Yeah, I know. I'm for that life, Corey.
Until we're down, we're parsing like 25 seconds. There's 25 seconds left. Like, just can get a touchdown. Like,
drain the blood,
getting it down
to
3-1 second.
No. I hear that, but it's like drain the life out of the opponent.
I'm with again. I'm with it, but it's gotten absurd. It's gotten absurd league wide. It's gotten absurd. People are like, I'm going to make sure they don't have it. I'm not going to kick off with more than 5 seconds left in the half. Shut up. Just go score. Score.
I mean, it is kind of
the whole point is scoring points. Also, that's how poorly you think of your defense. You can't stop someone for 5 seconds. Like,
or you could say it's, or you could say it's helping your defense.
Yeah, by not putting them on the field.
Yeah. Exactly. Resting them.
Oh, my God. Speaking of defense, yes, as we talked about earlier, expect 3-4 base principles. This is there's no mystery here. Brian literally said it at the combine, although I have enjoyed all the sleuthing online. Nose tackle need. They definitely need some big body, some humongous human to come in, man the middle of this defense. Now, I got asked the other day, is that Nazir Stackhouse? I don't think so. I think he had a pretty disappointing rookie year. But you never know how guys are going to progress. Maybe he makes a big jump. Maybe he hits the weight room this offseason and is able to take on some of those double teams and not get washed out as much as he was at times his rookie year. But that is something they definitely, definitely need to look at. And I do think the draft is probably where they're going to do it.
Yep.
But we shall see. Finally, the safeties are ready to star. Are you ready for this safety tandem, dude? I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. Between what Evan Williams did in his second season and then Xavier McKinney, yeah, you need him to grab the interceptions that are thrown to him. That would be nice. But outside of that, he was fantastic last year. And now you get Gannon in the house, and this guy is known for putting 2, 3, 4 safeties on the field at a time. He's going to mix stuff up, and I'm very excited to watch Williams and McKinney in particular, obviously. Now, I think McKinney has the opportunity in this defense to maybe, possibly, be Charles Woodson-esque. And I know that is high praise. That is a superstar Hall of Famer, but McKinney, he could be akin to that, the way they use him, like up high, down by the line of scrimmage, get after the quarterback. He can do it all, and I think Gannon can unlock some of that. I'm excited. All right, before we get to...
I feel like you went through news, and now you're like, your energy is like, I've lost. I've done the Packers news, and now I have no
I literally
energy.
Just waited for you to say something and waited like 30 seconds of silence. So my energy's fine. Why don't you join?
Your energy feels down to me. Your energy feels down to me.
That's, right, Corey, go back and watch the replay. That's adorable. All right, everybody, make sure you subscribe to the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. There's a link in the description of this video for you to do so. Are you ready, Corey, is the most important part.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's hit it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series, and also the return for a farewell to our good friend, first and foremost, but also head of social media here at Cheesehead TV. We now welcome in one Tyler Herrick to Packer Transplants. We have had Tyler Herrick on Cheesehead TV before, but I think this is the first time we've had him on Transplants.
Oh, really?
I might be wrong about that. I might be wrong about that, but I think that is the case.
That feels right.
Tyler. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. There he is, Tyler Herrick. What's up, Tyler?
Gentlemen, it's an honor. It's a pleasure. This is the first time.
There you go.
It's the first time. We enjoy it. It's great.
We've been on Packers After Dark, but we haven't had you on Transplants. Correct. Yes.
Exactly. Finally.
I love how you sound like you're in a cockpit. And that is apropos because
I was just gonna say I was waiting for you to notice. You know, you have your fancy headset. I had to put on my fancy headset for you guys.
We love it. We absolutely love it. Of course, the reason we have Tyler on, as I announced on Twitter a couple nights ago, Tyler will be leaving us in the fall, which, you know, I guess, whatever, dude. Well, you gotta go be a pilot, like you gotta go learn to fly. I mean, you've already learned to fly. You're flying, but you're going to go like be a pilot for real and stop doing Cheesehead TV social. So we had to have you on and say thank you. Thank you so much. Everything you've done. I can't believe that this all started because you just emailed us out of nowhere.
That was a long time ago. It feels like yesterday, though, honestly. I can't believe it's been seven seasons of doing this already.
I was going to ask how long it is. I have no idea. I'm like,
it was the end. I think it was, I emailed you guys after McCarthy got fired. felt like there needed to be some positivity in this world, this Packer world.
Right.
And after that, and then, it was right after McCarthy got fired. And then I think that off season was when, and then right when Matt got hired, and then kind of went from there. It's crazy. I cannot believe it's been seven seasons.
Well, the thing is, we didn't want to, leave your tenure without giving an opportunity for you to talk a little bit about the role, since now we're, searching. We're going to be searching. Now, you're going to be with us through the draft into most of the offseason, and then the fall is going to come and you're going to get busy. So whoever comes on board to take over, as it were, will at least get the wisdom of your guidance and your kind of
transition
history and transition kind of hand holding, so to speak. But I did want you to talk a little bit about the fact that I loved how you and I talked a little bit about this, about how everyone in your DMs or anyone reaching out to you and you being like, no, it's actually work. Like, I get it's a lot of fun memes, like it's very humorous at times, like, but it's work. So I hope you can dissuade anyone out there thinking, oh, I'm going to go do the Cheesehead TV thing, who thinks it's just going to be a party.
Yeah, I think it's about there's a fine line between professionalism and fun, and you get to have fun when you're professional, you know? But yeah, just like you said, there's a lot of people messaging me like, how much work is it? How many hours are there? And it's like, I don't ever quantify it into hours. This is a full-time gig, if you will. So yeah, I've just kind of been telling people the same thing. Like, I can't tell you exactly what you guys are going to be looking for going forward in the future, what worked before, what didn't, but I can tell you what I did, and that's constantly be plugged in. I think that's the role of somebody who wants to be involved in a sports brand or sports media brand, is you have to know your audience, and part of that means constantly being plugged into your phone. And I know that's not always the healthiest thing, as you guys know, or the most fun or exciting thing, but the majority of the notifications on my phone are not text messages or emails. It's tweet notifications. It's whatever Schefter's saying, whatever Domofsky's saying, Schneidman, you, Nagler, like I even have Corey's tweets on just in case, just in case there's another Connup review or something that's coming in that I need to look at. But it's constant. It's never ending. And there is a lot of work that goes into it. Like this episode of Transplants, I'm sure by the time it's done, it's going to be north of 2 hours, right? You have to take that, download it, clip it, find the clips, find out what people are talking about, discern between what people were talking about 6 months ago versus what people want to talk about now. Having little things in the back of your mind, just monitoring the conversation online and listening to what people are saying. Like, there was an argument the other day between Bukowski and you about cornerbacks and how bad they really were. So if there's ever a conversation that even comes up with cornerbacks, having that in the back of my mind and being able to, so, and all of that will come with time. You know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint trying to figure out, you know, the pulse of the fan base, if you will, but time and experience will come, and I'm happy to help whoever wants to come in next. And then obviously, you know, that's the way that goes. So
the question I got to ask, and I'm sure I've already seen it a couple times in the chat. What do you have a favorite meme, post, moment, video, anything throughout? I got to think you've been thinking about it a little bit over the course of the last couple weeks, months, what have you, when you knew you were going to be leaving.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. I mean, obviously, I feel like the Cowboys wild card game was kind of peak. Just everything that's around it. You know, we did that video that did really well. Just that edit of the highlights of, you know, all the people saying there was no chance the Packers were going to win. just the euphoria that came with that. That was probably, you know, that was like the closest it felt like we got. I know we had been to the NFC Championship games and things like that before, but that felt to me like the closest to a, you know, like a championship and what that would feel like, you know, during this era, because a lot of that Rodgers era, there was so much pressure. And I felt like, as a fan, you were just like on pins and needles, like, okay, gotta win now, gotta win now, gotta win now. Like, Rodgers right. isn't going to be here much longer, you know? So when the world thought that the Packers were done, and when you come back and win in that convincing of fashion, basically the internet is the best place on earth. when the Packers lose like they did, you know, a couple months ago, not so much, but, you know, you got to ride those waves, and that's what makes this fun.
Then absolutely you get to be in a Bears crash out video that gets seen by 1.2 million people.
That's what Corey's proudest accomplishment.
That means people are looking for you guys.
I was like the thumbnail for that video.
Exactly. Hey, bad so press good. Is good press.
All press is good press. Exactly. So Tyler, tell people what, like, I joke, you know, obviously I don't know what the hell it is you're doing. Like, you're going to be a pilot. What does that mean? When do you start? What do you, like, you flying people around, you flying cargo? What are you doing?
Well, I mean, when I emailed you guys, I was, you know, a flight attendant. I've been working in airline world since I was 18 years old. My dad worked in it, and I didn't want to give up my free flights. So I started loading bags when I was 18 in Milwaukee, and just picked up a summer job doing that. And here I am at 33, still in the airline world. But yeah, I went to go be I was working on the ramp and then gate agent, and then became a flight attendant. And when you're a flight attendant, you know, it's a great job. You're traveling the world, but it comes with a lot of free time, believe it or not. Everybody thinks you're gone all the time. And sure, that may be true for the first couple of years, but after that, you do have a ton of free time. So that's how I got into Packer transplants. That's how I got into Cheesehead TV. And obviously, as a big Packers fan from Wisconsin and that route, you know, it's pretty easy to do so, pretty easy to find you guys. But yeah, so that's what I was doing basically the last seven seasons, is working, you know, 10 days a month, maybe, as a flight attendant. And the rest of it was just helping you guys out and being a part of something really special like this. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. But an opportunity came up with my airline where basically they said, hey, we're going to sponsor people if you go through this interview process, and we're going to front the bill for your training. And the only catch is that you just have to stay with us. We want to put you into our farm system and train you up from 0 hours all the way to the required 1500 that's required to be an airline pilot, and train the way we want you to train, and train with who we want you to train, and basically, you know, get to be in part of their farm system. So I feel like I got drafted, and I started, you know, working out with them and doing all that stuff. For the past year or so, I've been working on all my ratings. So I went, for those that are in aviation, know that it's a multi-step process, multi-year process. And I got my private pilot's license. I got my instrument rating. I got my commercial license. I got my multi-engine rating. And now I'm working on my instructor license. And unfortunately, that means it's time for me to hit the road from this project, because that, you know, 10 days a month I was working, it's about to turn into 10 hours a day, 30 days a month. So that's coming up this fall as an instructor. But the way that it works is, once you become an instructor, you turn around and teach the new group of draftees, if you will. And you do that until you hit your 1500 hours. And then you transition into the flight deck back at the airline. So It's been a wild process. I can't believe it's already been a year that I've been starting this and doing this, and I'm excited for the future. And but I'll definitely miss, you know, sitting at home in my sweats, you know, reading memes and making memes and doing all that kind of fun stuff. So,
well, everything you just talked about has nothing to do with us. You've obviously done all of that on your own, but I can't tell you how proud we both feel. Like, it's crazy that, like, that guy who emailed us 7 years ago has turned into what will soon be a commercial pilot. Like, my guy, we're so proud of you. We can't thank you enough for all the work you've done, not just as the Cheesehead TV social guy, but just brand awareness and, like, you know, seeing you throughout the years, everything you've done both online and in person for the brand. You're the man, the myth, the legend. Thank you so much, and good luck as a pilot.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been an absolute honor, obviously, and you guys know how I feel. I don't need to gush about you guys, but I just want people to know out there, especially for people that are interested in it, like, these two guys are going to not only take care of you, but they're going to mentor you. And that's been the thing about Cheesehead TV that most people always say. It's that, hey, I started out as a writer, I started out as a blogger, I started out as whatever, and I got to go on and do other things. And it's because you guys have that mentality of, like, we're not just gonna, you know, and hoard you, we're gonna let you go out and give you opportunities to go do other things. And most of times it's sports. I don't think you guys ever thought you'd be training up a pilot, but you know what I mean, like, it's just, you know, that's part of it. But it's been the most fun I've had in my entire life. And, you know, it's weird. I was thinking right before I came on this too, you know, this doesn't even feel like, it's not really even a goodbye. I know everybody's like, oh, congrats, we'll see you later, like, we're so sad, blah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm always going to be a part of Cheesehead TV. Cheesehead TV is always going to be a part of me.
Correct.
Like, I'll probably be up at training camp, you know, right before I start working as an instructor and stuff. Like, yep. Nothing, I don't really feel like much is going to change. I'm still going to talk to you guys every day online and in person. And, you know, that's the thing to me. It doesn't even really feel like a goodbye at all. But,
dude, you trended on Twitter. What are you talking about? This is a monster deal. Come on now. It's a monster goodbye.
That was ridiculous.
How hilarious was that?
Absolutely. And then West sent me, somebody sent something in Insider Inbox too. They put something about it too. I was like, oh my gosh.
It's a big moment, dude. It's a big moment.
That is hilarious.
Love it. But, love it. Well,
yeah,
thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. And yeah, if anybody has any questions, obviously, you know, reach out to me, but obviously talk to you guys too, and you know, expectations and stuff. But I have no sway. People have already said, hey, can you put a good word in? I have no sway. I'm here to help. So that's it. So I'm going to be here throughout the offseason. I'm excited for what we're doing with the draft and with training camp and all that. So I'll be here for it. I'm excited for it.
Appreciate you, Tyler. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks,
Tyler. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. See you.
Tyler Herrick. I was going to pull the Connups rant, but I figured, you know, everyone who's seen it, has seen it, knows it so well. But I did have to retweet it the other day. That was an amazing moment. Thanks to Tyler.
Yeah. He knows how to banky bait.
Mm-hmm. Better than most. Other.
He's pulled some good clips from the show. That's kind of, I remember during the pandemic too.
Yes.
Especially like Bukowski ones, really good Bukowski ones that I'd love to pull. I should have pulled some of those. Some where he just like, yeah, I was like, this is going to be good. And then he clipped it and I was like, yeah, that's good.
So good. Yeah. So good. Elsewhere on the internet, in the blogosphere, as it were, you remember Mike Tenier, buddy? I know you used to curse out Tenier when he wrote for the New York Times.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, was he like a Jets writer?
No. He covers the league, and he started at Football Outsiders, which I love. And I love Mike. Mike is a great dude. Grew up an Eagles fan, I believe, but he covers the NFL. And he has his own blog, as it were, called, or Substack, I'm sorry. That's the parlance of the times, called Too Deep Zone. And he was very, very uncomplimentary about the Packers offseason so far, to the point where Paul Noonan wrote a piece kind of in response over at Acme Packing Company that I very much agreed with. And I thought Paul did a very good job of kind of taking apart his argument. And then someone asked me on Blue Sky, of all places, did you hear what Tenier said? And I was like, yeah, you know, Tenier, he's very funny. He's very caustic and, you know, dismissive of almost every team. But I said, but there's not a lot of insight there. And Mike, I think I kind of touched the third rail there, because Mike seemed to take exception, and he he and I came to an understanding. We have a bet going on, Corey.
Oh, yeah.
If we could put this up on the screen here. Mike said, if the Packers win the division, I must wear a cheese head on all my podcasts for Sweetening the Pot, as long as they stay in the playoffs, and will make an appearance on Aaron Nagler's podcast wearing this headgear of shame. If and when, to his mind, the Packers fail to win the division, Aaron will post a video extolling my brilliance and admitting that the two deep zone is the premier source of Packers wisdom on the internet. Aaron will also do so on my pod with Matt Lombardo, who is just learning this.
There's no way we don't win the division.
That's what I said. This is what I'm saying.
I mean, even if you don't believe in what the Packers have done, do you believe in anything that our division rivals have done? I don't. The Bears have gotten worse.
Yeah, well, that's a topic for another day, but I think the Packers win in the division. So I'm all in. Can't wait. Can't wait for Mike Tenier's premier debut on Cheesehead TV next offseason. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then your workout buddy, Ed Policy, made some waves, made some headlines with his interview with the Sports Business Journal a couple weeks ago. A lot of stuff talked about. Obviously, the poll quote was about the naming rights for Lambeau Field, which he even says the literal quote is not something we're considering anytime soon.
I know.
But that was certainly got the conversation going. And as I said on Twitter, I think it's a formality. I think that's in our lifetime, which is something I probably wouldn't have thought as a younger man. But I do think, Corey, in our lifetime, that feels inevitable.
If I cared more, I really would love to pull an early episode. We're talking about 2009, maybe, okay, of Packer transplants.
Right.
And I guarantee you we spent almost 15 minutes on Packers naming rights. And I'm saying there is no way in our lifetime that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen, right.
I remember us arguing about it.
No. Like I said, as a younger man,
more than one time.
I didn't think it was possible, but yes, I do believe. I'm with you now, Corey. I think it's an inevitability. I loved the mayor pulling out that old clip and posting it on Twitter about a newspaper clip about Green Bay residents being in favor of the idea of Lambeau's naming rights being sold. That was pretty intense. Like,
I mean, I'd rather have it be something at Lambeau Field than pay 2.5% sales tax at the time. Mm-hmm. At the time, not now. Right. There is no sales tax anymore.
Right.
There is
none
anymore. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer for people in Brown County.
Word.
I think it's really funny, and I think Ed knows this. It's like, yeah, the fact that he actually said they're not on the table, and the social media around that has been like, I mean, and remember, we're in the pre-desert period for the NFL.
Yes,
so,
correct.
You know, anything can it gets
missed. Any possibility of a headline, yes, will get pulled and blown up. No question about it. Speaking of the dead time, we're about to swing right into the bulk of draft season, Corey. As you know, I don't really dive in too much until this event occurs, which is the release of the Cheesehead TV draft guide out on April 2nd, people. Al and company hard at work. This is when I finally dive in and take a look and see what's what. I mean, I've got little kind of looks at some of these prospects at this point, but man, draft isn't until April 23rd. You got a long way to go. April 2nd is the first drop of water in that desert where, I mean, the Cheesehead TV draft guide, what, 16 years now? It's
I was about to say,
such
a
labor of love.
It's a teenager, it's amazing. At this point.
It really is. And I, as I always say, it is the best piece of content Cheesehead TV produces, mostly because I am not involved in any way, shape, or form. Like, it is pure draft nicks all the way through. And make sure, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention this, Corey, make sure if you want to get the Cheesehead TV draft guide, sign up for a Patreon membership. Like, you don't have to pay. You can be a free member.
Yeah, you don't have to pay anything. Yeah.
You need an account.
You do for the draft guide, but yeah, you don't have to pay anything to get an account.
There's the draft guide is $16.99. You have to have a Cheesehead TV Patreon account. So sign up. do it. Get ready. April 2nd. Tons of stuff. All right, Corey. What's going on there on the YouTube chat?
Jerry, is Ben Johnson on Corey's shirt? Yep, he is. Little Cheesehead TV, Ben Johnson. Yeah, I kind of was feeling it because he's kind of annoying. He's kind of an annoying person.
And we're just trying to speak his language. He said, fuck the Packers. Yeah. So fuck Ben Johnson. Yeah. Pretty clear.
You can buy it on the old Cheesehead TV store.
Yes, you can.
E4K Town. I'm sure the owners will be placing natural grass as a priority at their golf courses.
Well played.
Jerry, the hotness, Baron Sorrell on a treadmill. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, hitting I watched 21 miles per hour.
I watched that a couple, two, three times. I definitely, Soder, why do we have, oh, Soder, you're so funny. Evil Badger 72, which international game do you think the Packers will play, if any? I wish the NFL wouldn't drag their feet with the schedule.
I don't remember when the schedule used to come out right before the draft. That was perfect. Like, there was a stretch for 2 or 3 years where it was like a week or two before the draft, they released the schedule, which was fucking awesome. But now we don't get the schedule until like mid-May. I hate it. As far as the international games, we know they won't be hosting one, but yes, they could potentially still go to face somebody on the road, as it were. I'm rooting for the Packers play the Lions in Germany. I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be amazing. Or is it Spain? The Lions are hosting a game over in Europe.
Yeah, I was about to say, we can play in Spain. We can still play in Ireland, right? And we can still play in Germany.
There's no Ireland game this year. Germany and Spain, I think, are the two options. But
Got it.
And I know the Lions are one of the clear options, which I would love, because then we wouldn't have to go to Ford Field, which would be awesome.
Oh, that would be nice. GB Faithful, go Pack Go, boys. Can't wait for the draft. Thanks, Jerry.
What's up, Jerry?
Appreciate Thank you, brother. It. That's all we got. That's what we got, Nagler. We did it.
Sweet.
Well, it's not, to Tyler's point, it's not going to be a two-hour show. We're actually only going to be a 90-minute show. So there you go.
Only a 90-minute show. My goodness. I love it. I do want to give a shout-out to our Patreon members. Mentioned the Patreon membership earlier. Patreon members are the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV. You guys really make everything go. It's amazing. Happy hour last night was a ton of fun. As always, got a great diehard group pretty much every week throughout the year, not just during football season, along with Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. Cannot thank you guys enough. Really appreciate the support. Corey, do you got anything else before we head out into the evening?
Join us. We're going to be doing these once a month, so get ready for the next one before the draft.
Our next one will be the night before the draft. That's right. 1 month, like just under a month, obviously. The 22nd. Here on the YouTube channel. Make sure you join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hit subscribe, hit like, and that'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everybody who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and... And just, it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.